Hello and welcome to the Black Multiverse Theory podcast.
A podcast about global, local, and popular culture from the perspective of Afro-Canadians who live different versions of themselves to navigate everyday life. Episode
5.
Good evening. We made it.
We did. This is our second month, everyone. We're
doing it again.
Super excited. Super excited. Yeah. Having our second month, we have grown. It has been an exponential growing.
Yeah, it's been fun, and people email me content all the time. Like, in my inbox, people email me all kinds of articles and interesting things that they want me to talk about. But nobody ever emails me your questions for a shop talk. But that's okay. We'll get there.
We'll get there. So if you have shop talk is where we talk about
some natural hair,
and different skin natural questions. Hairs and skin questions. Mm-hmm. Don't forget the skin questions.
Yeah. They're attached to each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we kind of want to talk about.
Well, today. How was your week? Let's do a recap.
We do want to talk about my week. Well, you know what? The weekend was phenomenal. For those of you out there who were able to go to the Come Worship the King MC'd event that a lot of people said they were going to come,
bashment.
But didn't show up to the bashment.
Wow.
I was sick. Hey, man.
I was really sick.
Listen, I'm not trying to put you out there. You didn't have to say nothing. They didn't know it was you.
I feel like... You may have made it clear that
they did not know it was you who did show up to the bash where you said you
had a migraine.
She had a migraine.
I was working really, really hard, and I really hit a wall.
She was. She.
I didn't make it.
The body tells you what the body wants.
But through my migraine, I squinted through the pain and saw all kinds of flags waving. And ladies boogieing down. It was good. It felt like vibes, like through the screen. It was vibes.
We were definitely vibing out. We had lots of people there. Crystal Reed, shout out to Crystal Reed, whose album dropped that day. She did the album release on that day where she performed and killed it. It was totally lit.
A lot of energy.
The place was nuts. There was a lot of people there. We had quite a few people there. Who I'd like to call the headliner was Marvida Providence. She was there.
She's a big time ting.
She was. She is. And so she came and she bustled some tracks, which was good. Had the entire crowd just having the time of their lives, worshiping and having a good time.
You were singing a little bit too, weren't you? Did I hear you singing too at the top of your lungs from like the side stage?
I actually sang on stage.
Did you?
Yes.
So you had a...
Somebody said it's kind of my thing. I have to put this out there as a disclaimer for a lot of people when I MC.
You also sing.
I do sing. I do a lot of tracks. I do bring up a lot of the Caribbean tracks. I do sing a lot of worship tracks. And get into the whole vibe of the spirit of the whole event. But a lot of people feel that when I come in and sing,
you're stealing the show.
I'm trying to outdo the last performance that was there. Okay. And that's not it. I kill time by singing different songs. Sometimes people are late coming in the back, so I have to sing a song or stall.
Yo, Nigel, why are you trying to take over the people's show?
hey, you know, a man's got to kind of use what he's got to make
talent's
the show
talent.
Right.
It's undeniable.
All I wanted to do was just get in there and get the show done right. And it was a great, great show. Next year is going to be amazing as well. It's an annual thing. A shout out to John Lindo and Michael for putting this thing on. What a great, great show.
Yeah, a lot of energy. Is it always long weekend?
It is, but I did talk to the organizers. They are looking at... furthermore,
Switch that out real quick.
So furthermore.
This is when you're trying to finish a thesis.
Yes.
Like an issue in the morning.
Conclusion. The hypothesis originally stated. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing about you and performing for me.
That you remember?
Is that you slay every single time you get on stage, even when you're supposed to be booing.
That's why people, I don't get it. I know. That's why I don't go up there too often, because I don't. You know.
It's funny.
I got to save it.
So people, vote Nilo for your
for
event.
What?
For mayor.
Okay, shoot. If that's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing. That's where we're at.
Someone is angry. Okay. I can't even see who it is. We're having
such why is the person angry?
I don't know. I got an angry emoji.
Uh-oh. Maybe because you got booed.
Who knows? Oh, maybe so. I forget that there's like a little delay on this.
Right.
Because people did craziness in Facebook land.
But looking at that and looking at Black culture, let's talk about the scroll.
Okay, on to the scroll. Well, first, before we do anything, mm-hmm. Malcolm X's birthday was yesterday.
Shout out to Malcolm.
May 19th. Is today May 20th? I don't even know what day it is.
Today's the 21st.
21st. Okay. Well, May 19th, happy birthday, Malcolm X.
So Sunday. Sunday, happy birthday to Malcolm X. Happy birthday.
That's actually Martin Luther King's birthday song. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
There you go. But my thing about Malcolm X, I feel like he's underrated when it comes down to his birthday. I feel like Martin Luther King gets celebration.
All the play.
Yeah.
I can see that. I think...
why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's a tendency in the government and controlling culture to push the more pacifist movements. When it comes to honoring a movement that has passed, there's actually a book I read in college called Pacifism as a Pathology. And it outlines every violent movement in history or every peaceful movement in history that was seen as being beneficiary to any revolution. There was also an adjacent violent movement as well. So I think they're just pushing that Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stuff so that, and they don't even push, they don't even talk about how radical he actually was. Even your own boy Jesus.
True.
Was the Bible I study was really, really revolutionary.
Okay.
And they push generally pacifism and I think to keep everybody docile. Yeah. So we can link arms and lay down in the street and feel like it'll do something.
Well, you know what? Speaking of the Bible, and my homeboy, Jesus, as you call him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy.
My boy. So the Bible talks about there's a time for everything. There is a time for peace and there is a time for war. There's a time to stand up peacefully and do a peaceful march. And there's a time to say, hey, we're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe in both sides of it.
Yeah.
So I look at Malcolm and what he did for Black culture and Black people as a whole, as a society, as a culture. What his principles that he was trying to emulate and try to articulate is to let us know that these things are wrong. He's right now we do these things where we're raising awareness for stuff. So we'll do wild and dangerous stuff for awareness, ALS awareness and cancer awareness.
Was it Malcolm X that was you want to appeal to your oppressor's conscience? They first have to have a conscience.
They first do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So these things are where Malcolm's principles came in. So I just want to say a shout out to Malcolm X and happy birthday to him. And let us not forget those who came before, who are trying to set, I call them pathfinders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they set paths for us to follow. Not always we have to take up arms, but we have to know when. Yeah. And that's the key between both types of people, both.
But we need that person too.
And Martin Luther King. Yeah, we do.
I think we need that person. What? It's still recording, bro.
Whoa. Okay. all right. Let's keep going. So I got quite a few people on mine today. Shout out to everybody. Okay, furthermore, to scroll, talk about black people raising up and doing some stuff. What about the people who graduated this weekend?
Morehouse. Yo, I shared a meme with Rachel Dolezal where I was like, I too am a graduate of Morehouse 2019.
I too have graduated and have plenty of
also my
loans.
Year. Yes, it happens to me. Is it too late to graduate?
He said this is his class. So the man's name was Robert F.
Smith. Nothing like a Bob Smith to come through.
Yeah, Bob Smith came in. Robert Smith came in.
He did.
He's a billionaire.
He right? was like, this is a challenge to all you alumni sitting over there. This is my class right here, he said.
Yep, this is my class, and I'm paying. We are working to give a grant to pay off the student loan. So you still have to apply for it. You still have to do the stuff. But once you get that grant, you can eradicate all your debt. Imagine coming out of school and not owing anybody anything.
Any money. Wow. And he was like, I'm going to put some gas in your tank. That's exactly what he did.
Buddy.
Yeah. I need some gas in my tank.
Just to go a little further.
While we're gassing up tanks.
Can we go up the street? We need to get up the street a little bit on this. We need to take this to the next level.
While we're talking gas, we think it's giving gas money.
Buddy, I got a student loan from 2005. I need somebody to come take care of right now on these streets.
Oh, boy.
I was like, when did he graduate?
He got an honorary doctorate this year.
Yes.
Robert Smith.
He got it this year?
Yeah, the honorary doctorate. Yeah, that's why he said it's his year. This is his technically his graduating class because they gave him an honorary doctorate this year. I know.
Speaking of honorary doctorate,
Dr. Halibut,
Angela Bassett.
Dr. Angela Bassett.
Dr. Angela Bassett got an honorary doctorate. Guess from where?
Auntie, where?
Same place.
I have a question. I know you did say that. Isn't Morehouse a boys' school?
No.
It's
not, I guess not. It probably was back in the day.
Hmm.
I could take a look at that.
Are you sure?
I could take a look and find out.
Yeah, we'll check and see.
But Morehouse, I'm excited because now you got a bunch of newly educated,
minted degrees, debt free out there in the world.
Debt free.
Won't even know how to act. But did you hear there was a church who, in the spirit of that guy, paid off a whole bunch of student loans for people in their congregation, totaled up to $100,000. So he apparently, not only did he do it, but he sparked this wave of people doing it.
You know, and that's the thing about me, and I'm going to go down in the record for this one. If I ever make $1 billion.
Oh, wow. You set that bar high.
I'm going to do the same thing.
You set that bar high.
I'm about to do the same thing.
Okay. Fair. I'll be there with your first billion. Like,
right? If I ever make $1 billion, I'm going to be doing the same thing. Just do this.
Related but not related. I found out that you can just get the keys to the city by asking. Like, they just be giving out keys to the city nowadays. So we have to, we're going to start a, how do you call it? A movement? A campaign to get us the keys to Edmonton. I think we should have them.
A campaign to get the keys to Edmonton?
Me and you.
Okay.
The keys to the city.
We want the keys. Who there wants to see?
I want to have the keys.
Nilo and Nigel get the keys to the city.
Yeah. I feel like I should have the keys to the city.
I feel like we should. I feel like we should get the keys And I don't know what I would do with the keys to the city, but I would.
I don't think you do anything about it. I don't even think they give you keys anymore. I think they give you like some kind of a certificate, but I still want it.
Okay.
So put that on the list of things. What do you got next? What's on your list?
On my list. We have some things for the scroll or. Because we did talk about that, but some things that happened in our thing, we had a black trans person was beaten.
Oh, see, I thought you were moving on to Halle Berry.
What happened to Halle Berry? Sorry.
Nothing, I thought we were going to talk John Wick, but no, let's talk about this.
We got to talk about this first.
So, Miss Malaysia Booker. Is a black trans woman who was first of all she was beaten in April, like, which is just a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Apparently she had some confrontation with somebody and a group of people beat her up, and it was videotaped, and on the videotape there was someone actually was yelling like transphobic slurs or what have you. So yeah, and then one of the people on the videotape ended up getting arrested, and she recently, like yesterday or this morning, was found dead, shot, and her body was found in the street, which is so discouraging and damaging and frightening. And really, what we're talking about is that the rates of violence on black trans women specifically is the highest, actually, of all the groups. It's, like, really, really terrifying. So I think you were a little bit surprised to hear that when we brought it up.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised because I have an issue with human rights being violated with black people. Mm-hmm. Your choice to do and become who you want to become is a choice still. Whether I feel it's a wrong choice or a right choice, your right as a human being to live is still your right. It's a Nelson Mandela thing that basic human rights should be awarded to humans because they are human rights.
Right.
So when you look at somebody who says, okay, I now identify as this or that,
anything,
and then get killed for that identification, that is definitely not what I believe or what anybody should. And I discourage people from doing that on all aspects of society. Do not infringe on somebody's human right,
like basic human rights. But I think what happens is that some of the actions that people participate in, like jokes, or like they kind of think nothing of some of the things that they say. They think it's just jokes. Like one of the nerd groups that I was in, someone put something like a trans joke up or whatever, and he's like, oh, so phobic means that you're scared of it, which is what people say all the time, which means like, okay, I guess you don't understand that we do not speak English as direct translations of Latin. Like, that's not how we talk English, right? So if someone tells a racist joke, like, is it racist? Like, are we talking about the joke being funny or not funny? Or are we talking about, is that, that's separate than the joke being racist, is it?
Are you talking about a comedian or somebody in day-to-day life?
I guess we're talking about day-to-day life.
If you're talking about day-to-day life and somebody says something racist...
it's a racist joke.
Racist joke. It is your duty to identify that as...
That person's like racist, right?
Yeah.
So well, someone says...
If it offends you especially.
Yeah. So a lot of times there's like jokes about violence towards trans women particularly, which to me, it really comes down to hating women. Like, what's wrong with, I don't get it, you know? Anyway, yeah. I'll just put it there. Like, we definitely have to be careful with protecting people around us. We have to be careful in the things that we say and just sensitive. Pride is coming up now in June. There's a lot of like politics around Pride at Edmonton this year. But all of that really has, it's made me like extra reflective about the people around me and just making sure that we don't continue to like propagate harm to our neighbors and our family members, our friends. Like these are people, human beings, all sharing this space and time with us, you know? Yeah. So it's really distressing. Trans rights, I guess we're just like on the brink of really talking about that now in mainstream. I was also reading an article about how in Canadian media, they, when they're speaking about trans and trans rights, they kind of like, it's like, ha, 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 like a pronoun circus type of a thing where everybody's just like so confused. And it kind of puts it into a light where we're not actively educating ourselves, right? So I think that it's important that we're actively educating ourselves with what's going on around us. And I can't be championing me not being oppressed because of my skin color or because I'm a woman, cis hetero woman. So I cannot see someone being oppressed, you know, and violated and subject to violence, you know, because they are a trans woman. Like,
yeah. And like a lot of our viewers, some of our viewers that are on here right now, you got to live and let live, right? It's just one of those things. No matter how you feel about it on a personal level, I feel like harm to any individual for a belief or for
a way of life, their identity, identification,
and yeah. how they identify with themselves. I feel like that's wrong on a lot of levels. Bullying is bullying. Abuse is abuse all around
like period, the spectrum. Period. Right. So yeah. Make it okay. And there's actually a lot of children who are gay children or trans children who have also killed themselves and committed suicide very recently. Like there's been a plethora of 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kids. It's just, it's very, very distressing. So
yeah,
we just take a moment and like, freak, be kind to the people around you, man.
I am in agreement.
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about, I mean, you don't watch Game of Thrones, but,
sure. We could talk about,
I need a moment.
We can talk about GOT for a second. Any GOT watchers out there?
Oh, so stressful.
This portion I would like to call on the screen.
Okay, sure. I'm making this up as we go.
This is what I would like to call it. I would like to call it on the screen. We do this every week.
Every week. So
on the screen, you want to talk about GOT, Game of Thrones.
I'm not sure I'm done with the scroll yet, but we'll flip back and forth. You're not done with the scroll? I don't think so, because no, we are. We're done.
You sure?
I mean, I guess I didn't think about on the screen as being a whole separate thing.
Okay, what's on the scroll still?
I don't know, all the other stuff. We still have Halle Berry. We still have John Wick.
I feel like Halle Berry and John Wick are on the screen.
Okay, fine. It is. We still have Pacifism as a Pathology. No, I'm sorry. We still have See You Yesterday by Spike Lee. So I guess that's on the screen as well.
On the screen.
Okay, look at you. All right. We're on the screen now.
All right.
We just smooth like that.
We have the See You Yesterday on the screen. Yep.
Okay.
So we are on the screen.
Okay, GOT.
GOT, let's get on there. So GOT, for those of you who know me about GOT, just to know where I stand, I have not, Sherelle, what's up? Anyways, GOT, where I stand, I watched the first season. All of my heroes died in the first season that I was following.
Second season, they died.
And I said, no, I'm done.
The Red Wedding was in the second season.
I'm completely done.
You're like, oh, no.
You're talking
about shut him down. It was foreshadowing.
You're talking about the Red Wedding.
The Red Wedding. That's the second season.
I don't remember watching about the Red Wedding.
Listen, first and foremost, I want to give a shout out to everybody who brings up Game of Thrones but does not watch it.
I don't watch it.
So our mutual friend, Miss Janelle, we're at a party and she's like, do you watch Game of Thrones? And I'm like, bitch, yes. So I just like cut into Game of Thrones. And she, her face is just blank. I'm like, she's like, I don't watch that. I'm like, so you just wanted to bring up a TV show that you don't watch? Like, what?
Listen.
So let's do a sandwich. So plus, minus, plus, plus. The Last Dragon, I think it's Drogon. Anybody correct me if you feel like it.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. If you haven't watched The Last...
No, that's not how Game of Thrones works. Game of Thrones, that's why I told you, I have to like watch it before the morning. Once Game of Thrones is on, you have to avoid the internet until...
So did you watch it?
Yes.
But what I'm trying to say
watch it in the middle of the night.
What I'm trying to say is for those of you who have not seen...
The last Game of Thrones?
The last episode.
Oh, wow. We don't roll like that as Game of Thrones fans.
You probably should click off. That's all I'm saying.
They know what's up.
Okay.
It's already, what day is it, Tuesday? It's already been on the illegal, I know, Janelle was judging. It's been on the legal streaming services already. So Game of Thrones, literally the worst finale I've ever seen of any show I've ever seen in my whole entire life.
Mm-hmm.
It was so whack.
Yo.
Like they could have gathered any group of random fans and written a better finale than that. Yo, they had coffee cups on there. Like the director, I don't know, continuity. They just fired that guy. They had a water bottle by Sam's foot in the end. In the end, they did all this fighting for all these seasons. And then they just chose the king in the end. Like, it's not even like it came down. And there was, like, so much information. They changed all the rules. There was so much information that we got. Like, why do we need to know that Jon was a Targaryen if nothing was going to happen with that? The Lord of the Light brought him back to defeat the Night King, and then that's it? Like, it was just so bad. Like, it was so bad. There was 30 minutes left, and I just threw the remote and was like, yo, I'm going to go to work. This is so whack.
I watched a meme. The meme said, who is the worst villain? And it showed all the villains in Game of Thrones. And then at the
end, Littlefinger.
It had...
The writers?
It had the writers. And I was like,
yeah.
A lot of people are a little bit upset.
The writers. It was bad.
A lot of people are upset about... Game
it was really, really bad. And they just didn't do the fans right. But anyway, off we go. It's done.
Done.
It was so bad. It made you pissed off that you watched the entire show. Because it's like Game of Thrones. Who's going to win the Iron Throne? Who's going to win the Iron Throne? A woman wins the Iron Throne. She gets killed. The dragon melts the Iron Throne. They vote this other guy to be the Iron Throne. And this nigga ain't been doing nothing the whole time. Bran the Broken?
Listen, Bran.
I know, because you watched season 1 and 2 and then heard about season 8. It makes complete sense to you.
That's the thing about me, though. That's the thing about me.
Not just like,
I'm like
full circle. It makes perfect sense.
It makes sense to me because the reason that
Bran lost his legs in the first place. So it makes sense.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yo.
Jarrell saying hi. She says, we need to get off this Game of Thrones thing and get on Days of Our Lives.
Girl, what?
Okay. Jarrell. Okay, Jarrell. That's cool.
Sherelle, I'm going to make the intro John Sakata this week just for you. Just another day. Just for Sherelle.
Moving on. Listen to me about this. Halle Berry on the screen. Now, I'm going from the small screen up to the silver screen right now.
The big screen.
With Halle Berry making an epic appearance.
Well, I don't think it's just appearance. They called her an addition to the John Wick universe. So I think she's just in there now.
First of all, I didn't even know John Wick
had a universe. I thought in order to have a... First of all, don't look at me like that. I thought in order for you to have a universe, you have to have an adjacent movie.
What do you mean?
Like it's John Wick. So it's just John Wick.
What they're trying to tell you is they're probably going to do a spinoff on Halle Berry. It was so good.
now it's going to be a universe, especially now, because they were like, aren't you pissed? Yeah, it's going to be called like the Continental or something. Who knows?
Who knows? We'll see what happens. Like all John Wick movies, you know, there's a lot of action.
This was the best of all of them.
Yeah, I can say that. Easily. There's a lot of action in John Wick, whether you downloaded it or went to watch it, whatever the situation is.
I'm not here to judge.
It played out for me. I'm not going to spoil it for those who are there, but it played out to me like a video game.
It watches like a video game.
There was everything in there. The regular gun scenes that you see John Wick in.
No.
The regular literally kung fu everything. Scenes.
I think they got 10 or 12 10-year-old boys and was like, okay, guys.
Why is it got to be 10? Really?
10-year-olds?
Yeah.
Maybe 15-year-olds.
And said, okay, guys, what do you want to see?
What do you want to see? And they were like, I want to see. And everything they said, they put in the movie.
You know what? I feel like...
That's what happened.
I feel like saying that downplays the art in which...
Oh, it was actually really beautiful.
It was amazing.
The choreography was really good.
It was a good movie. Knife fight? I've never seen a knife... Like, I've seen a knife fight. You've probably seen one in many, many things. If you go back to the original Kickers, you're going to see knife and sword fights. You're going to see, you know... Drunken Master. You're going to see these ones from back in the day. Even if you went to the old Bruce Lee ones, you're going to see this stuff. But when I'm talking about a close range knife throwing fight, not just a knife fight, but a knife throwing, like one, two, three, four, like just throwing knives. Amazing. Then Halle Berry's part in there where she has two dogs. And she's just like, go. She's just commanding the dogs and fighting and shooting and fighting a dog amazing. Commanding. It was just amazing. But you've got to see it. I'm not going to wreck any more for you. So you know now there's dogs in there. But that's about it. So go and check it out.
There's everything to see there.
And then let's go into this. The funny thing about Halle Berry, Halle Berry's doing her thing that she normally does where she walks on the red carpet. And we get some serious... reporters, the two black reporters, a female black reporter and a male black reporter.
Apparently they were like shading them on the carpet. So people were passing them, missing them, not letting them ask their questions. And I've heard this happen to reporters oftentimes, like in all kinds of
And so Halle Berry was on the carpet in front of them and they're trying to ask Halle Berry questions. But her people PR team are trying to like push them back. No, we can't. She's too busy for y'all. Mm-hmm. And the lady was very distressed. The lady reporter, she was very distressed that Halle Berry was just going to leave. Like, who doesn't want to interview Halle Berry?
Also, they were generally the other people weren't like listening, like answering their questions and stuff.
Right. So.
Miss Halle Berry. The gem that she is, the gift.
She's walking, and the lady says, you know, Halle Berry, such, and she turns around, and she goes, how can I miss my people? And
she said, I can't pass my brother and my sister.
And turned right back around and did the interview with the two of them, and they shouted her out like a champ, like the champ that she is.
She's awesome.
So shout out to Halle Berry for that. That was amazing.
And killing it in John Wick.
She killed it
in John Wick. I'm so glad she didn't come in as no, like, romantic blah, 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 blah. It was not that.
Yeah, she didn't come off at all like the romantic second star that she's done in the past, and it makes money, but she came off as more of an equal partnership. This was really
good. I want to see her movie.
Honestly, John Wick is a wicked movie, and the character of John Wick is a wicked movie, but with her there, with what she has going on, they could go anywhere. They could go in the past. They could go in the future. They could
prequel.
A prequel where John and her first meet.
Whatever that story is. Because with her daughter, right?
Yeah, because she's like with the daughter. I don't think it's their daughter, but it's...
No, her daughter. Her daughter.
Yeah, right. So
yeah, some story about that.
We're giving more than we need to on this.
Okay, let's move along.
Let's move along. You don't need to know all that. All right.
No, but what I wanted to say is John Wick has a really diverse cast.
Yes.
Because I watch for that stuff. And actually, the cast overall is diverse, but even the background people and how they place them and where they put them. Mm. Yeah, it's very much, it's very in the forefront. Like, there's one part where he goes into a fancy hotel and the guy walking out, buttoning up his suit, like, is a black guy. And I was like, hey, okay. And we're back.
Okay, we are definitely back and we are still on the screen. But we are going to some of the new things that are coming out. Spike Lee is producing a movie. What is it called?
It's called See You Yesterday.
Who's in that bad boy?
Dang. Mm-hmm. I was not prepared for that.
Not ready. So
I know it was directed by Stephen Bristol.
Stephen Bristol.
It was written by Frederica Bailey and also Stephen Bristol. Mm-hmm. And it stars Eden Duncan Smith, Dante Critchlow, and Astro. I don't know if that's like that's a one name or if that's a dog or what.
So apparently this is a time travel movie with black people in it.
Yeah, these two kids build a time machine to try to go back in time to save one kid's brother. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's about STEM. It's about time travel. I was just trying to look at the director and make sure he was black. He is.
So wait, Malik said he was doing what? What was the movie he was doing?
Malik is has a feature called Son of the South. You're talking about the one he did in Netflix?
Malik has a feature called Son of the South.
That he's working on.
The same Son of the South is produced by the same Spike Lee. Ask him. Malik. Because Spike Lee is producing Son of the South. Let me look it up. Malik, you on Netflix and you try to... Come on, Malik. Come on. You got to help a brother out, man. Stop playing around.
This is why I hide my friends list. This is why I hide my friends
list. Malik, I know all about Son of the South. My favorite director is Spike Lee.
Oh, that is exactly what he said. He said, I'm working on his new movie, Son of the
South. Lord of the mercies. Lord of the mercy. Yeah. These are why I meet people. This is destiny, Malik. You met me on this podcast.
No, Malik is my friend.
Listen, friends are no friends. Your friends are my friends. Now, this is what...
This is why I hide my friends list for you people.
For those people watching, Colin, we are over here with Malik, who's actually working on Son of the South right
Malik,
now.
Malik, I realized it. I went Shout back out to and read it. Malik, I'm supposed to have glasses, but I'm too vain for all that. So it was a little far.
You are amazing.
He's helping with the effects.
Cool. Awesome, brother.
I need an illustrator, Malik, so let's talk offline about that.
Okay. So with the time travel show that we have, which Spike Lee has been going around doing the most, especially after winning this year. I believe he won an Oscar.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this year for Best Original Screenplay, was it?
I think so. And a Grammy.
For soundtrack?
I don't know what he won the Grammy for. Okay. He won something. He won the most. That's all I need. He's been doing the most out in these streets, and I want to recognize him.
He's doing the most, and he won the thing.
He won the thing. On Netflix, She's Gotta Have It.
Coming out season
Season two. The original She's Gotta Have It is one of his, if not his first, screenplays that he did.
It's one of his first, yeah.
And it was done black and white. It was awesome to watch because you look at the time frames and how it was.
I feel like we caught up to Spike Lee. I definitely see him in terms of being a visionary and being way ahead of everybody. And sometimes when I think of myself, I think of myself like Spike Lee.
I feel like Spike Lee tells stories just... How you would tell a story.
Creatively, though.
Very creatively, and intellectually. Yeah. It's amazing to watch how things go. I like a Spike Lee movie because you know a Spike Lee movie by the angles and some of the things that he does.
Very stylized.
More Better Blues. Also one of my favorites, me and my homeboy Norman Doctor Jr. one of our favorite movies.
You people are coming back.
Yes, they are. They realize we are here. So I'm really anxious and excited, more than anxious, but excited to watch She's Gotta Have It season 2. I really liked the first one. It was amazing.
What'd you like about it?
The first one, I love movies about life, especially about Black people and the struggles they go through getting through life. When you watch a movie that's about life, that's told, their story is told well, you can relate yourself into different times in your life where you kind of ran over those. Yeah, you ran through those spaces and ran through any obstacles and you did this. And her relationship, there are three men.
Distinctly different and a woman.
Distinctly different and a woman. Mm-hmm. And all of them, which there are certain characteristics of those people that make what she would probably deem as the perfect person.
Yeah, but in combination, they're the perfect person.
In combination, exactly. So you had like this pretty boy and you had this guy who's super funny.
I got a question for you.
What's that?
Janelle wants to know, which of the men, if any, do you relate?
Do I relate to?
Yeah, like who, if of those men, who do you see yourself as?
I think a little bit of all. A little bit of all. I feel like the guy who's super funny, I do really funny things.
The goofy
stuff like
one.
I'm kind of goofy at times. Mm-hmm. But then there are times that I'm super...
like the guy who's like Maxwell. He's like super vain and into himself all the time.
Yeah. I think sometimes I'm like that. Sometimes okay. I'm in the mirror like, oh, I don't want this or I don't want that. I think every guy's like that. We sat in the mirror just like anybody else. And you're like, oh, I need a haircut. My hair's not fresh and you got to have it fresh.
Okay.
But I feel like his is there's another
He's on
side.
Another flex.
I feel like that guy, there's another side to him where he has that creative eye. Especially because he's a photographer, right?
Oh, right. So he's living through the art in that way, right?
That portion of him, yes.
That's how you see yourself.
Yes. Okay. But of course, you know, every guy is, you know, has a thing. Oh, yeah, I'm looking fresh. You get a nice fresh haircut. You're like that. And then there's the other guy who's like stable and married. So
is he married?
Yeah.
Oh.
The relationship's not good. It's okay. So that's.
I have to watch that
they have a son.
Season again.
Remember they have a son who plays
the guitar. Oh, yeah. And the sound's acting out and the wife's overbearing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember.
Yeah. So, and then there's, I guess, all the characters.
All of the characters.
All of the characters. I really don't.
Including the lesbian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because.
It's just a position, really, to be in.
I think the lesbian or the female love interest in there, she has issues protecting her
family and herself.
Yeah. So I think that any person who has a family and has that type of protective portion of you, you're going to relate to that that individual, that character. So, yeah. Thanks, okay. Janelle, for the question.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Okay, I'm going to check out season 2. She's got to have it. Moonlight, I think, is on Netflix. I just saw this morning. What?
Colin said people came back because we're done giving away all the spoilers for everything. It's the truth. The moment you started, people started logging off. You need to stop this.
Not my side.
Your side was like, okay, we all watch it. My side was like, peace out. I had like 7-8 people there.
They all chilling. Logged out.
They all logged out.
They like
logged
back in.
Colin's right.
All right.
I told you. So, you know what we missed on the scroll?
What's that? The local stuff?
Was there local stuff?
Oh, there's some Canadian stuff.
Tell us.
So, I don't really have the details, but I'm going to tell you it as I saw it on my scroll.
Go ahead.
Apparently, these beef people in Quebec got beef with Beyond Meat.
Oh.
Yeah. So they lodged a formal complaint because they said that Beyond Meat is comparing themselves to meat. And by saying Beyond Meat, they're saying that they're like better than meat somehow, which is kind of saying that meat is bad for you, which is kind of like degrading their. I feel like it's a reach. But the other beef farmers are like, yeah, they want them to stop saying meat. They want them to say plant-based protein instead of a plant-based meat.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's a good selling feature. Have you got your plant-based protein today? Come on, guys.
Yeah, like,
is it really affecting sales that bad?
Well, I think that they're concerned because when Beyond Meat came in, they sold out. Do you think they'll win it, Janelle? Janelle thinks they'll win it. Well, yeah, the way stuff is set up here, they probably will win it. This is a crony system here in Canada. So, but apparently when Beyond Meat came in and sold out at A&W, it made a big deal. And I even had meat eaters that were like, where is there an A&W? I will pay for Beyond Meat Burger. I'm like, yeah, guys, it's all that. But apparently it was.
Listen, the Beyond Meat Burger, when I did, for those of you in April, I did a vegetarian
stint
diet, a challenge for 30 days. So the challenge was for 30 days. I couldn't find a lot to eat. The Beyond Burger saved my life because I was able to eat the Beyond Burger. It's a plant-based protein. It is fantastic.
It's made from great. Like mung beans. And
it has what you need.
Like
there are veggie burgers out there.
That are smushy.
They are very smushy. They melt in your mouth. Mm-hmm. Burger King, sorry guys.
It's a Boca burger.
This is what you got. You bite into the burger and you're expecting the chewiness, the density that you get from meat. Instead you get
potatoes and peas and carrots.
But you really, it just dissolves in your mouth and then you're like, oh, okay, I got a lot of bread and a lot of onions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the Beyond Meat burger, it gave you the density. It made you feel like you're eating a burger with the ketchup, the mustard, the onions and everything. If I gave that to my children, they would know the difference.
Yeah.
Trust.
And there's a Beyond Meat sausage patty now, too. They have like a breakfast egg or type of a thing, too.
Yeah, they had that when I was there, and it tastes like sausage.
Yeah.
When I bit into it, I didn't know the difference.
So I think if I was the beef producers, I'd be worried, too. Because it's a viable meat alternative.
What you got to do is you got to look at A&W sales and see if actual beef went down in sales. My friend said he went there and bought both burgers and tried them together. I was like, oh, the Beyond Meat burger is not that great.
What burger did he try it against? Because
he tried it against the Teen Burger.
Okay.
So he went against the Teen Burger and he got the Beyond Meat burger. And he was like, oh. But the funny thing is, that's not
how you eat it.
You got to eat it alone.
By yourself.
Like, does it taste like a burger? Yes.
Right.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. I'm very happy with Beyond Meat. I hope they don't have to change their name for any reason. But people put obstacles in other people's
way. I hope we don't find out that they're terrible for some reason as a business.
Yeah, that would really bite too.
It's the life of an activist. Every time you like something, like 2 days later, somebody's like, meh. It's usually one of your friends.
You know what? It's true.
Call out culture.
It's true. But looking at that, you know, people calling on other people.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle was on the scroll this week. She came out with the brand new baby with the
Archie.
Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Archie came out. Betty and Veronica were waiting, the whole crew. Right? So Archie comes out. And this guy, oh, man.
Did he Photoshop it and tweet it or something? What did he do? So stupid.
Danny Baker, what he did was he showed a picture from Queen Elizabeth exiting one of the legislative buildings and coming down the stairs. In between Queen Elizabeth and Prince Henry
is a monkey.
There's a monkey there.
A chimpanzee.
A chimp. And he says, oh, here's the
royal baby or something.
Here's the royal baby. I just got to interject real quick. That water that you just sloshed up, it sounds so refreshing. I just want you to know that water you've been drinking.
You heard all of that?
All, every piece of that.
I'm going to try it. Like, we'll sort it out on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Psst. Go, go, go. Go.
Lost my train of thought. I'm so thirsty.
Yeah.
So anyways. So he put a chimpanzee, this picture up and said, the royal baby.
Look at the royal baby.
Look at the royal baby coming out of the hospital. He tweeted it. So,
but they don't understand, like, how he doesn't know them royals don't play. They do not play.
Listen, England and London is the kings and queens of
social, murdering somebody,
social media and media. Coming into the airport, it is said that your picture is taken from the airport to the parking lot 1,000 times. From the moment you get off the plane to the moment you get to your Uber or wherever you're driving, your taxi, whatever you're going to, friend picks you up. It's 1,000 times your face has been taken.
Which is so crazy that Diana died and nobody got any pictures of that.
Yeah. Isn't it though? But that's a completely different story.
That's a story for another day.
So Daddy Baker, he happens
to, what happened to him now?
They fired him.
They fired the crap out of him.
Oh man, they fired him
so fast.
And
why would he do that?
You know what? I can say he's probably, I don't know, he's 61 years old.
Fine. Maybe. Okay, we're going to do all that whole thing. But the vacuum that he lives in has to be so tightly packed that that guy did not know he was going to lose his job for that. That means everybody around him is the same kind of racist. Okay, so coming up, what are you out doing? Where can the people catch you? Miguel.
You got to go more into that. The people, the events this year on the calendar this year, or this month, we have coming up this weekend, May the 25th, is Carrie the Carrie West
mass band launch,
where they're going to have a great thing. This is going to be held at the Art Gallery of Alberta this year. It is amazing. I've seen the flyers. I've seen the stuff.
It's a good time every year, honestly. All the bands come out, and it will give you opportunity to see all the costumes back to back to back to back to back, and then you can have a good decision on who you want to go with for the summer. So if you kind of want to see everybody's costumes, it's a good opportunity to see everybody at one time, really.
And last year's, the flyer that I saw, last year's flyer, which was Sherall,
right?
Rollies was in there. Raleigh's was in there, looking dynamic in there. So they're going to show and launch the mass band launch.
This weekend.
So those of you who are interested in getting involved in the mass band launch, come out to that event that's on
May 25th.
Also, Carrie West, the actual festival, happens this August. So those of you entering in and trying to be part of the Jab Jab group, please, please, please register as soon as you can.
Oh, yeah, and be clear who you're registering with, because Calgary did launch a Jab Jab group. So.
No. Just register with Nilo. That's what you got to do.
Make sure you know who you're registering with.
No. Listen,
I don't want people to register for Calgary by accident, and then Carrie West comes, and they're not on the list. It's melted.
It's juice.
It's a slushy like you wanted. You want a straw? I got a straw. You can put it in it.
It's pure juice, though.
You don't want a straw?
I'll have one later. It's going to get messy.
So gross.
All right. So that's one event. June 1st.
What's going on the day after tomorrow, Nigel?
It's a Thursday. So Thursday. Day after tomorrow happens to be
happy birthday.
My birthday. May 23rd, Bouncing Baby Boy came out and did not cry. He just smiled and told jokes. That's what he did.
The moment you came out.
Maybe it came out and said, hey, man.
You're like, hey, I'm going to make like a baby and head out. Am I right, dog? Cha-cha.
Hey. Came out cracking jokes.
Now listen here, doc. See?
That's basically
how it happened.
An accurate statement.
All right. What's happening in June? June 1?
June 1st, there is a cabaret. Event happening. I will get more information on that as I was not prepared to.
Okay. Say. While you're getting that information, I'm going to tell you about June 2nd.
Okay.
We are going to be having a volunteer drive for Rarica. So one of the things that I mentioned to you was that there's a little bit of politics around Pride this year, but there is going to be an inclusive Pride plan to celebrate the anniversary of Stonewall. It's a big year this year.
Okay.
So we are going to be hosting that volunteer drive, and Rarica will be looking for volunteers for all different positions. And so look for that. Look for that link for the volunteer sign up soon. And we'll be having an event here at the shop to help to bring volunteers into the building so we can get this done. We're also going to be hosting a healing circle with Rarica in June. We are going to confirm those dates shortly. So those are some things to think about coming up. So what was that June 1st cabaret?
Yes, it's called Musique. It is Musique. A celebration of the performing arts. That is on Saturday, June the 1st, 2019. Doors open at 7 p.m. And that's also at the Art Gallery of Alberta. That's Sir Winston Churchill Square. So that's where you want to be to get that. You have performances by Jeff Hendricks and his band. And you have live music happening there. So it is a celebration of the performing arts. There's lots of different performances there. One of them is a cabaret and burlesque showcase of the talent in the city. So there's some dancers that will be there, and quite a few people will be at that event. So that is amazing. Coming up at the end of the month, are we at the end yet?
Of this month?
Uh-huh.
End of what? The month?
The end of June.
What's happening in June?
Coming up at the end of June is the Pearlene Simpson Scholarship Concert that happens.
Where's that?
That is at Bethel United Church. That's on 9950 148th Street. That event is an amazing event that happens every year. If you can, please go on line so you can get the registration form. If you know anybody that can benefit from a scholarship from school, every little bit counts. These scholarships range in pricing, so you can get, you know, from $1,000 to help with books or whatever you need to go to school. We are all about getting people into school and having them learn. So in June, this is June, I believe, the 29th, the weekend of the 29th and 30th.
I'll be bacchanaling at that time.
So on that weekend is the Pearlene Simpson. I think it's, sorry. Yes, it's either the 29th or the 22nd, but I'm pretty sure it's 29th. Anyways. That is the Pearlene Simpson concert.
Scholarship concert.
Yes, scholarship concert.
Sounds good.
So, yeah, it's really good. Real fun.
Do you give out scholarships there, or you just raise money for the scholarship?
No, they give out scholarships.
Oh, that night?
No. That night is
a fundraiser.
Is the fundraiser for it.
For it, okay. Yeah.
So the scholarship is given out the last weekend in August.
Okay, so this is a great community efforts type of event thing. The more people go and buy tickets, the bigger the scholarships, the more scholarships get given out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's it. And the price of the concert is usually $5.
Really?
Yeah.
So even if y'all don't want to go, you should buy a ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, you should definitely go. But if you don't want to go, you should at least buy a ticket.
I think people should buy a ticket for themselves.
Period.
And then buy two more. It's about the same price as a Happy Meal at McDonald's. It's literally $50.
Yeah. Okay. Happy Meals are $15 now?
Well, not the Happy Meals, but a regular meal.
Okay. I was about to be like, tag.
Yeah, I know, right?
Gotta get those kids out to work.
Canada Day, July 1st, I will be performing at St. Albert Square, downtown square where they have the fireworks.
Oh, that's Janelle's hood.
I'll be performing in that hood.
Okay.
So that's going to be a great Kitty Wampus good time.
Okay.
Yes, right. It's going to be nice.
Okay.
More events. Sorry, June 29th is the Men of Motown. It's happening on June 29th.
Where's that?
The last year was at the Citadel, I believe this year, or the last time it was at the Citadel. I'm hoping this time it will be also at the Citadel. So
Schloft. Caitlin said it's a Schloft.
To Schloft.
I'm okay with Loft.
It's aphrodisiac Schloft.
It takes it down a little bit. Definitely not the direction we're trying to go.
God, we're gonna lock it down. It's aphrodisiac Loft. That's what it is. So moving on from events,
shop talk.
Mm-hmm. We have. Sorry, there's mosquitoes.
Just the microphone.
Sorry. Yep. Forgot about the microphone. Mosquitoes annoy me.
Okay, give yourself a pause before you start, so I can cut all this out, please. Just pause. Just get yourself together and pause.
So, anyways, shop talk today.
Mm-hmm.
Shop talk is very with our melanin skin that we have going out into the wilderness and into the sun. It affects different people differently. Me personally, if I get the first sunny day and I go outside, I get a headache. I get dehydrated. I get a headache. I get sunstroke. I get that. Out there are so many different SPF 30 and all these different sunblocks. What do you propose?
I'm not even the one.
What do you propose that people can use on their skin during instead the sunny of? Time? Not instead of, but just in, you know, outside.
You gave me a hard one.
Did I give you a hard one?
You did, because I think what I think is different than like what is known. Like, I don't know if I've weighed in on like sunblocks the way it is. However, I will say this. Here's what I think. There are oils and zinc, and there are things that you can use that are natural sunblocks and sun protectants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not prepared for what those are right this moment. I know grapeseed provides some protection. The thing that we like is zinc. That's the thing that they, you know, in those old school movies that they put on their nose and it's like white? That's zinc. It's the same thing that they put on diaper rashes and stuff to help heal skin. So those things help with the SPF protection. I like bun my skin like leather, so I'm not even the one. I'm just a sun child. I try to melanin up as much as possible. I know I'm supposed to protect my skin. I don't really protect my skin outside of like the oil that I put on my skin naturally, like regularly.
Tania says she tries to get as much sun
as possible.
And then she says she blooms in the sun.
Me too.
I gestated in the sun. I think after the first sun. I think after the first sun exposure, after that first initial, my skin's like, whoa, that's a lot of vitamin D.
And then that's it.
And then after that, it just starts to get darker and darker and darker and darker.
Well, that's your skin controlling how much UV ray it's allowing in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I kind of think so, but I always see memes and stuff like just because you're black, it doesn't mean you don't have to wear sunscreen. And I'm like, yeah, but do you have to wear sunscreen? Like, there's skin protectants that are not sunscreen, like copper tone per se.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. There are probably tons of other things that are out there.
Yeah.
The thing about blocking the sun a little bit, it's just to help your skin ease into the absorption process, right?
Right.
I feel.
Right. So that's why I use grapeseed oil. It has kind of natural protectants in it. So grapeseed is kind of the one that's my go-to for that kind of a thing.
So grapeseed oil, everybody. You're
But I'm not first. Necessarily suggesting.
You
I don't
heard
know.
It here first, an aphrodisiac.
People are going to be out there burning.
Grapeseed like, oil, everybody.
But Nilo said
it will block all sun rays.
That's not what I said.
All right. Tatia said you got to hydrate, though. She said you got to
drink
water.
Lots of hydration.
Yeah. And I think that's part of my problem. I'll go out there and bake myself in the sun, and then my body's like, yo, you didn't drink enough water for all this sun you took in. So
then you dehydrate.
Yeah, get every piece of this dehydration headache you're getting.
Yeah.
So it's like that.
Apparently, raspberry seed oil offers UVA and UVB protection that's similar to titanium dioxide with a 28 to 50 SPF against UVB rays and an 8 SPF against UVA rays.
Okay. So we got grape seed, we got raspberry seed, all the fruit seeds. Strawberry seed, what's that do?
Guy.
Just tastes good.
Delicious.
It's delicious.
Delicious.
So
that's it for Shock Talk. I guess we'll figure that out. We stumbled our way through that, but I don't have to know everything. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
It gives me, before I go to St. Vincent, we'll talk about that again.
Okay. She'll go and research it, come back.
And we'll come back.
And give you what you need. Because the people want to know what to do with their skin in this summer heat.
Yeah. I don't know about blocking the vitamin D, because I think that the copper tone stuff actually blocks the vitamin D as well.
Mm.
Which is bad for you. Anyway.
Out in these Edmonton streets, I just want to warn everybody, there's a lot of allergies that are coming out. So you have to also be very careful what you put in your hair and on your skin.
True.
Because
your hair and skin touch.
Because now you're sweating.
And it runs on all over your skin.
So like my family's very susceptible to allergies. Mm-hmm. I feel like my mom was in the hospital the other day for Mother's Day due to allergies causing her to have an asthmatic reaction. Oh, my son, the same thing happens when he plays soccer. He gets a rash and hives on his forehead. I think it's just because of stuff that's running down from his hair and the sweat and the heat on the top. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful what we are putting in our bodies. Make sure we put enough water. Make sure we hydrate. Make mm-hmm. sure that we're putting the right things that react well with our skin. We all have different skin types. We might be black, but some of us may have oily skin. Some of us may have dry skin. Mm-hmm. And now is a really prominent time for us to get burns and stuff like that out in the sun. I remember a lot when I went to Trinidad years ago. I went to Trinidad, jumped into the lake. Into the ocean. It was oily. So there's like oil tanker just off the coast, and I guess there was an oil spill or whatever, and the water was brown. So
you literally got like oil on your skin?
I got oil on my skin. Oh, and then wow. It was hot.
And you burned the crap out of
and
you.
And blisters came up on both of my cheeks.
Oh, wow.
So it happens.
Yeah, I was one time in Miami, which is why I reserve telling people not to use SPF. I got there really early. And then when everybody got there, they put their stuff around my stuff. And I have a tendency of traveling alone. So I wasn't there with a lot of people. So, I mean, anybody else. It was just me. So I couldn't find my blanket and stuff. Mm. So I was just like walking down the beach in Miami, like literally had to remind myself that I can just go in the water and cool down. Like so hot walking up and down the beach looking for my stuff. It was the worst. That sounds like a typical story. Actually, so yes, I was like, at some point I was like, I'll just leave everything and come back when people start packing up, right? Because then my stuff will just be right there. So I went up to the lifeguard tower and I was like, so like, what time do people start packing up / before you come and move everybody's stuff? And the guy was like, oh, you can't find your stuff? And of course they have the lifeguard towel and they have the tower, right? And they have these big binoculars. Mm-hmm. So the guy's like this, looking way out. And then he's like, looks down. And he's like, oh, is that your stuff right there? Right beside the lifeguard tower. Because I'm genius. And I put my stuff beside the lifeguard tower so I would freaking find it. I'm like, He's like, is that your stuff right there?
I still forgot. I walked all the way around Birch.
I was like leather. I had sunstroke. It was really bad walking up and down that beach. So you do have to protect yourself from sun. Please. I'm more of like wear hats and drink a lot of water and stay in the shade and wear long sleeve shirts. And
Colin says he has to protect his daughter's delicate scalps, and he's right. These children out there, make sure you're getting them.
The children. What do you listen to these days, Mr. Nai?
Oh, man. What am I listening to? I am in love right now with Stevie Wonder's album. I went way back. And
which one?
I got Stevie.
Songs
in the Key
of Life. That's a good one.
So that album has been rolling through. The Stevie Wonder tribute happened. And I didn't actually tell everybody I haven't really heard a lot of Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. Just the popular songs that you hear normally. Mm-hmm. But when you download the album, of course, you get all the
songs.
Yeah, and the interludes in between songs and stuff like that. So
just genius.
He's such a genius.
Yeah.
And then on the gospel track, gospel tip, I always give you one that have Crystal Reed's album is actually pretty good. Local artist here.
It just dropped,
Just dropped last week. Saturday, at the concert, she literally slayed it.
There was a lot of energy.
There was a lot going on
there. In the live that I saw.
So there's tons of events happening for that too. So that's what's in my ears. What about you?
Trying to get the new Vinci Soca in to my system. I started playing it.
Is it good?
Yeah, but it's not, it's like the beat just gets in you. So it was like immediately like immediately. So it's good. I just have to learn it. Like it's just a matter of listening to it over and over again. So I want to make sure I know all the songs.
This may get you in trouble, but how do you feel it compares to the Trinidad releases of the song?
This would get me in trouble.
I'm just saying. I don't know. I don't know your friendly circle and how they feel about that.
Trinidad was... Yes, fire. The band that I play with in St. Vincent is Skinny's band. So Skinny is the one who won Road March this year. It was his song, right?
Right.
Problem Child, he writes for everybody, and he's a local guy. Okay. So there's a lot of influence out of Vinci on Trini music, even the songs that you love currently.
Okay.
So I haven't gone down the list yet. There's still some Fimba I haven't caught up with. There's still some Mason I haven't caught up with. So I haven't gone down the list. And, of course, you know our boy, Mr. DJ Gel. I'm patiently waiting. He doesn't listen to the podcast, but hopefully he does. He will.
You need to invite him to the podcast.
I will one day. Actually, yeah, he's coming for the summer. So he'll be able to come through. So, yeah, so I'm waiting for him to drop that Vinci starter because he organizes the songs for me. Because right now I'm just hearing specific songs. He's the one who kind of makes it make sense to me. He puts them in order, and I don't know how to explain what he does.
He does his thing.
Yeah, he makes it make sense for me. So I'm listening to mostly Vinci Soca. Yeah, that's like 99% it. Yeah, that's it.
All right.
I think that's it for me.
That is fantastic. I'm still reading Malcolm Gladwell.
Are you
reading The Tipping Point?
Anything stuck out to you so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to share it?
Sure. Okay. there's some stuff. The beginning of the book, he starts talking about crime. Mm-hmm. And he starts talking about crime and how it's in a certain time period.
In Brooklyn.
It's high, really, really high, out of control, explosive crime.
Mm-hmm. Specifically Brownsville, right?
Mm-hmm. And then he starts talking about Hush Puppies, the shoes, and mm-hmm. how these designers start to, you know, the company that was making the Hush Puppies, they're like ready to fold, they're ready to shut it down. Mm-hmm. And then these designers are like, yo, wait. Do you have any of those Hush Puppies? Because, you know,
this is the wave right now.
These kids are like wearing them
right.
crazy. So we need to do it. So they start to develop these Hush Puppies shoes. And it becomes this big thing. They like
brand
blow
over
up.
Again. Yeah.
They need stores to sell them. And people are asking for them. And they're on every runway now. And simultaneously, while this is happening, while this blow up happens, the crime rate, the police department decides to do a new initiative with crime control. And so next thing you know, Hush Puppies have gone up in sales, but at the same time, crime has gone down. And so he's trying to relate these two events as actual viruses. They're like a virus, like it spreads so fast and declines so fast, much like how a virus
spreads. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at with the story, and he's going more into depth with it. There's another
explaining the mechanisms. So that's what he's going
to
do.
He's explaining how that works mm-hmm. and what brings us to the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at with that book, and I'm very happy about that book. I also talked about his other book, which is David and Goliath.
Yeah, I love it.
So I had a very intellectual conversation with a young man this week.
Oh yeah,
about King Selassie and about David and Goliath, and how David and Goliath, especially Malcolm Gladwell, is really, really well learned, good professors,
conversational in his writing style, right?
Very much so, and he's Canadian as well.
He is,
and black, and he mm-hmm.
and he's and Jamaican. I mean, yes, black, but Jamaican. I think his parents are Jamaican.
So he starts to talk about David Goliath being not a story about an underdog story, where you have the small man and a big guy who's the underdog, but more of a story about strategy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he compares it to is like a huge, large UFC fighter coming to a fight, thinking he's going to fight against another UFC fighter, but ends up fighting a small man with a gun, and the guy just shoots him in the forehead. And that's basically the concept behind it, is David didn't fight man to man with Goliath.
He didn't fight the fight that Goliath was prepared for him to fight.
He fought a strategic fight where he just
Used his own strength, right? Because that's what he did.
Yeah.
He used his own
He did. He used the slingshot and smooth stones. He only needed one of those smooth stones. Mm-hmm. But once he cracked that smooth stone, like they show, you can go on YouTube and see pictures of in Russia of people shooting slings, the same type of sling, and shooting stones off and hitting penny in the air by at 100 yards.
Wow.
Like hitting a penny. So the accuracy and all that about it was all strategic on David's part. Mm-hmm. David had killed a lion and he killed a gorilla. Sorry, not a gorilla. A bear. A bear.
I'm like, this Bible is wild.
Wild. He killed a bear and he had practice with the slingshot. He sat
that
there
was
out.
His thing.
Yeah, he sat there out in the field and just whipped it around. It was like a little toy. Mm-hmm. And when it came down to Goliath, he just hit him in the forehead and then chopped his head off with his own sword.
It was the actual weapon of the time, though. That mm-hmm. sling and that, those stones. It was a real, real weapon of the time.
It was. The slingers was a complete section of the army. Mm-hmm. They learned to do this. They could hit opponents mm-hmm. from 500 yards away and more. Mm-hmm. And, it was very strategic. So Malcolm really breaks down a lot of things about life. So
actually, it's one of my favorite authors.
One of the things I recommend and it was recommended to me by Nilo.
Who's me?
So
one of the books I mentioned today is called Pacifism as a Pathology. That's a good one to pick up if you're a super activist.
Oh, like yeah. yourself.
If you're out there on the fringes being like, yeah, it's a good book to read. Kind of breaks down things that have happened in the past and different movements and how both fractions pretty much work together to make those the changes that we see possible.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that it for us? Did we get through another episode?
We did get through another episode, and I'd like to tell a lot of people something before we leave. Life on a whole, just as we move through every stage of every part of your life, whether you're in the stage where you are finishing high school or starting university, like these Morehouse College
starting life.
Yes. Or ending it, or ending university. Mm-hmm. You are doing everything and you are purposed to do it. You are everything that you go through in life is for a reason. Mm-hmm. So when you go through the bad things, when you go through the hard times, when you go through that, it's all for a reason. It's all ordered the way that it should be. So take your time. Take a deep breath. Take a nap. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. And put the pieces together slowly, one piece at a time. And as you do that, you'll realize that it gets easier and easier as you go through. Planning is key, trying to get things going and taking your time with it. It is easy in this life with our skin color and with our
really challenges.
It's very challenging. It's easy to get caught up in the overwhelming aspects of life. Mm-hmm. But if you can just take a second, take a deep breath, and just one bite at a time, just take it one step at a time, then things become a whole lot clearer. Anyways, that's it today.
Take care of yourselves, everyone.
Thank you, and thank you for tuning in to the Black Multiverse Theory Podcast.
Remember, you can catch us on all of your favorite podcasts. Stations. We are on Stitcher. We are on Anchor. We are on Breaker. We're on Podbean and Podcast. We are on YouTube. And this is going to play again on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Multiverse Black. I think that's it.
Yeah. That is.
All right, y'all.
Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube Live.
Subscribe to us. Share it. Dang, you guys, share it.
Share it.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.